starts right now.
Said she loves me, yes, yes, she does. Gonna show her tonight, yeah. She got the way to move me, Jerry.
She got the way to move me. She got the way to move me,
Jerry, baby.
She got the way to move me.
All right.
I mean, you just have to let it get at least to that part. Like, you just... Once, you know, some songs, you know, like I can play like 2 seconds and then I can just start talking. Other songs, man, you just gotta let the cherry
go. The whole way through.
You gotta let it go. You got, because otherwise you'd be like, you know, all day long, man, what is it?
He played the Bay Center and like he played all of his hits and stuff and he hadn't played
that fantastically acoustically designed Bay Center.
Okay, but it sounded, I mean,
amazing.
I hear you. Sure, yeah. I hear you. I know, dude. I know. But anyway, he was like, I need this acoustic guitar to play this. And then he started into Cherry Chip. The hair is up in my arms just thinking about it.
And there's something special about it when you're playing that guitar. You know, the one that almost sounds like it's broken, you know, when you strum on it. But that's like the heart of that song. Oh, man, I love it. 512 here on News Radio 92.3, informative local, Neil Diamond. I'm Andrew McKay. It's not that cold outside. It's not that warm outside. It's right in the middle. It's a good temperature all day. Last couple days have been really, really pleasant. All right, so the gun violence roundtable that Scammy Sheriff Chip Simmons held last week produced some interesting conversation. And, you know, from the audience members, many of which came to kind of have their say, one of those in attendance was Celestine Lewis, who talked about a program that she would like to be, she would like to see done more with.
The purpose for my call was to ask for help in elementary schools in Escambia County. My thoughts were to expand your phenomenal Blazer Academy into elementary schools. This program helps to provide self-esteem as well as build relationships among law enforcement and our youth in a positive way.
I mean, of course. Right. I mean, the Blazer Academy concept from Sheriff Simmons is amazing. And I mean, they won like a state award last year for the most innovative program. May well win national awards. I don't know. It's an amazing program where you have deputies basically, you know, teaching young people, men to begin with. And then they I think they also added a female class last year. It's like 3 or 4 in 1, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, 3 or 4 men's classes and 1 women's class, if I remember correctly. And the idea is to just, you know, teach them some of the basic life skills and be mentors and be an influence in their lives. And listen, the thing I love about this program, and I don't know, we'll talk about this with Sheriff Simmons at 7:35. I don't know whether this program is scalable. I know it might be. Okay, it might be. But of course, part of the challenge with scaling it to a larger number of kids would be finding the deputies, finding the law enforcement officers to staff it. Because, you know, there are only so many of them and there are a lot more kids, right? And so how many kids, how many schools, how many people could actually be handled? I mean, my suspicion is that the sheriff's not going half speed, right? Like, he's probably doing as much with it as can be done at any moment. But I'll ask him, you know, certainly. Because, you know, what she basically said is, let's have more agencies and more funding involved in this, which funding may well be a limitation, too.
I stand here to ask for a collaboration between the police department, the Sheriff Department, and the Escambia County School District to achieve this. Our youth need more preventive programs like this.
Most definitely. And, you know, what's interesting to me also about this, and, of course, into this space you already have, it's not the same, okay, but into this space you already have things like Big Brothers and Big Sisters, you know, into the mentoring children kind of space. There's something different about what the Blazer Academy does, and certainly them being cops gives them, you know, certain kinds of authority with these kids and certain, it is different. But it got me thinking, when we talk about the problems we have with kids who don't do well in school, failing schools that we have in this community, in particular in some areas, and, you know, the problems of parents not having transportation or parents not being present or single parent families or grandparent families, which, you know, can be okay, but we know the statistics don't say that's normally the case, right? What, how do you solve that problem? And I know it's a very easy and convenient, maybe are not kind terms, but people who tend to be more conservative, okay, my people, will tend to look at the problems we have with young, typically minority, often poor youth underperforming, coming from difficult backgrounds, and you tend to want to say something along the lines of, it's not the teacher's fault, they're doing everything they can. You know, it's not law enforcement's fault, they're doing everything they can. It's got to be the parents' fault, or it's got to be the whatever family structure isn't there, you know, that's the issue. And even if that's true, of course, that doesn't solve anything. Because then you're just like, well, you know, nothing I can do about that. Well, to me, Big Brothers and Big Sisters, the Blazer Academy are things that we can do about that. And so what I love about this idea, and again, I don't know how feasible it is, but what I love about this idea is if you view it as a crime-fighting strategy, because it is a mentoring strategy, because it is a changing kids' lives strategy, then it's not just that we lose or miss or avoid the crime. It's that we take human resources, you know, people, and we help transform them from ones that would be going down a path where they're going to cost society and themselves more than down a path where they're going to benefit society and benefit themselves. And the more we can do that, the better. You know, whether it's one or 10 or 100 or 1,000 kids, more of that that's effective is better. So, I love the call. I don't know if it's practical, but I love the call for it. Meanwhile, the sheriff got into the conversation about, you know, kind of what they're going to be doing and, you know, what this whole, what the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, what the targeted approach with the county and the city is going to involve, which is kind of the idea. One of those elements is they're going to be working with what used to be called Keep Pensacola Beautiful, Our Corner.
Our Corner was apparently used to be Keep Pensacola Beautiful. They've decided that they would help clean up the area, and this is all going to take place within this geographical boundary, and also within this time frame.
And that's one thing that they're going to do is kind of trying to clean up the area. Again, we've talked with the sheriff about this, kind of the broken window theory, that the cleaner an area is, the less people feel like crime is a fit for that neighborhood. And the more dilapidated, run down, broken an area is, the more people feel like crime is a fit for that. I think I said that wrong. But anyway, you know what I mean. Some places you feel like crime belongs, some places you feel like crime doesn't belong. Also,
county staff, got some roadway cleanups. Code enforcement's going to do what code enforcement does. There's going to be some community conversations outside of this roundtable to include CDAC, to the Minority Chamber of Commerce, the school district. These are three community conversations that I'm aware of, and that will take place likely here at Brownsville, but within this period of time.
Bring resources, and I think they're talking about having I forget if it was a card or a brochure, but was something that was designed to really show people what the resources are in their area. My one note on that is, this is going to sound condescending, and I don't mean it that way. You have to think about the person who's picking up, let's say it's a brochure, okay? You ever picked up, like, those county brochures of, you know, where to get information about emergencies and hurricanes and stuff? Okay, and they're like, they look like what, an old phone book or a workbook or something like that. And you pick it up, and you're like, oh, this is great, and then you never open it. Because it's like, it's too much. It's, you know, and it's almost impenetrably valuable. Like, there's so much there that you use none of it. Same thing can be true of a brochure or of any kind of an informational pamphlet, handout, whatever, is will the people who would most benefit from it really be able to get the information out of it and take action on it? Because it's not enough to just say, well, here's the information. Like, it's got to kind of catch the eye. It's got to make sense to the person. It's got to be immediate. Maybe they don't read all that well. You know, like all of those things you got to take into account, kind of like when you go to a trade show or the fair or, you know, the arts fest or whatever. You know, if you're setting up a booth, okay, it's great to have good whatever the stuff is. It's great to have good prices, okay, sure. But you've got about a fraction of a second where a person's eye wanders to your booth and you want them to go, oh, and come over. And if they go, you lose them, right? And it's like that. Like, sometimes it's got to be the dumb little, like, how can we make sure that this information really catches the person's eyes in whose hands we put it? where they immediately see value in it and want to dig deeper. Because the best information presented in a way that the person doesn't immediately grasp the value of it is just going to be trash. Right? Just, I mean, I'm kind of thinking out loud on behalf of the county here, but that's kind of part of this. Other services that are going to become available in this two-week window that there were, I mean, I think 2 weeks is part of it, but weren't they going to be working on this one zone in Brownsville?
Animal control is going to be out here because they've got an issue with some wild animals, wild dogs out here. Parent University will have, as I understand, two events. The Florida license bus will come out here to help people get driver's license. That will park up here for a period of time. The community health bus will be here. I don't want to speak for Commissioner May, but there may or may not be a library opening up within this time. It'll certainly be starting in earnest with this time period. Florida Power and Light will be working on getting the lights. They've already isolated which lights are out, and based on our conversations, they're going to start lighting up Brownsville during the nighttime.
All good measures, you know, and his basic philosophy here is let's try it, and if it works, we'll do more of it.
So you get an idea. This is the time. This is the location. Time period ending is probably 23rd of June. We'll start next Monday, I guess, with whatever operation you want to do. And in the meantime, it seems like we're going to have a number of different things clicking, and that's why we want to ask that you would put those things on the calendar. It's not the end all. We understand that, but it is something, and it's more than we've ever done before that I'm aware of, and it's something that we can take what works and move it to somewhere else. If something doesn't work, well, we'll change. If something works well, then we'll increase that. We'll double that up.
And frankly, if they learn what works here and kind of see what's the cost, what's the number of personnel, what kind of specialization or not do they need to have, and then we can almost make like a blueprint. Like, you do this, it's going to take 10 people, you know, and move it into different areas and see how it works. And, you know, this might be kind of a trite way to think about it, but you know how we do these neighborhood cleanups where we kind of focus on an area and everybody brings stuff out and trims the lawn, trims the weeds and all that kind of stuff? The idea there is to take the bad stuff out. And I think if I understand what they're trying to do here, it's to put the good stuff in and a little bit of the take bad stuff out, but to put the good stuff in and try to see if that works. He also put out a call for direct engagement by the most natural community member.
But also I'm hoping that I'm calling for conversations with a religious community. I'm hoping that outside of the sheriff's office, the religious community in this area decides to have one of these community conversations on their own. I'm asking that the businesses do the same thing, maybe collaborate with the Chamber of Commerce, and you can do this. You don't need us, or at least you don't need me. You may need the mayor, but you don't need me to come here and facilitate this, but I will be glad to show up. I'll be glad to help out in whatever way that we can.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, look, religious organizations have the capacity to do a tremendous amount of good. And, you know, there are a few of them. You know, we have a couple of churches, you know, and if church members would, start doing some of this on their own or find out from the sheriff what they can do, some of my favorite churches in our area do extraordinary work at serving the community. But churches in general are a vastly underused resource for this kind of stuff. So I love it. I think he's thinking on, basically putting all the cylinders into action, seeing what can we do. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you've got a BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, an import, you paid a little bit extra to get it. You do not have to pay extra to service it. You do not have to take it to the dealership. You don't have to make the drive if it's, you know, somewhere else, like in another state, let's say, across the water, across that horrible bridge. you don't have to spend the extra money. You can do it right here at Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway. Same thing for your diesel engines. They service those all the time. They're a little bit different, but they take care of those. And any other vehicle, you know, any old runaround, your Ford, your Hyundai. I mean, if I didn't mention, it doesn't mean they don't work on it. Okay, they work on all of those cars and trucks and vans and whatever. CarClinicService.com is the website. The idea there is it's a healthcare clinic for your car to prevent the bad stuff by seeing them for the routine preventative maintenance. You know, bring it to them healthy so you don't have to bring it to them broken. Carfax tells them they're a 2021 top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. So if you need car work done of any kind, Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their 7 locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
You can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Then, as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
You know, when Generation X and the Sex Pistols and Black Flag are classic rock, then, you know, we have problems.
It hurts.
It just, yes.
It does.
It's a deep knife twist in your soul. 528 on News Radio 92.3. And you know the, who sings the revised version of the Boys of Summer?
The Ataris.
The Ataris, that's mm-hmm. right. Where the line is from a Deadhead sticker on your Cadillac to a Black Flag sticker on your Cadillac.
Like,
which I'm sure
the drummer lives in Gulf Shores.
Oh, cool. Okay. But anyway, I'm sure that the pain I feel at hearing that phrase, a Black Flag sticker on your Cadillac, I'm sure is the pain that all of the Grateful Dead fans heard in the original version of it. It's a poignant line.
But don't you remember making fun of those people too when you're in high school? You're just like,
yes,
oh
ma'am.
My gosh, a bunch of hippies.
That's right.
Which is, oh man, what do they say about us?
I don't know. Yeah. Let's not ask. We're not that old.
Young. What do I
you're
say
29,
about your
I'm
people?
32.
Right.
You know, that's right.
Go ahead, young man.
David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Former President Trump headed back to New York City this week for a deposition. The New York Post is reporting that Trump will be questioned for the second time by New York Attorney General Letitia James, whose office is investigating the Trump Organization's business practices. And some sources say he's expected to plead the fifth. President Biden heading to Belfast in Northern Ireland today to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. It'll be the first stop on a trip that'll also include a visit to the Republic of Ireland, where he'll be meeting with leaders and delivering remarks. And police in Kentucky say the gunman responsible for yesterday's mass shooting at a bank was an employee there. And he was reportedly live streaming that whole thing as it happened. Terrible situation. 5 people died, over 6 injured. And that happened at the Old National Bank in downtown Louisville.
Who apparently had been told earlier that he was going to lose his job or
That's
whatever.
That's what I'd heard,
I thought I read something. It was from Alabama originally, you know, maybe. So I don't know. But, you know, with mental health issues in addition to whatever else was going on. David, thanks so much for the update. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Just to go back for a second, you know, I always have to remind myself, people that are our age, you know a lot of those references that I was just Don Henley, the Ataris, you know, mm-hmm. all of that stuff, Black Flag. But I always have to remind myself that, like, my dad likes to listen to the show. He doesn't know any of those. He might not even know who the Grateful Dead are. You know what I mean? Like that kind of.
Oh, my goodness.
And there are all kinds of people who listen to the show and, you know, people who are older may not get a lot of those references. And I apologize. We're trying to make it as inclusive as possible for everybody from like 12 to 90. Well, like 91 and 11, we're not interested, but from 12 to 90, that's what we want to capture. Go. That's our audience target.
Buy every product you're advertising. Yeah, but you like the Neil Diamond, didn't you?
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Biden signs a bill ending the COVID-19 national emergency.
While the president did not actually want to do this, according to White House officials, ultimately he did not veto it. He gave in and signed it. So just like that, the COVID emergency is officially over.
Fox's David Spunt in D.C. According to the CDC, more than 1.1 million people died from COVID in the 3 years of the pandemic. A fake victim from the bank massacre, 53-year-old Deanna Eckert, dies from her injuries about 12 hours after the 25-year-old gunman shut up the Old National Bank. That from Louisville Police, Governor Andy Beshear.
These are irreplaceable, amazing individuals that a terrible act of violence tore from all of us.
Officer Nick Wilt, fighting for his life, shot in the head, rushing the gunman. Cops said the 26-year-old just graduated from the police academy on March 31st. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 60 degrees. It is partly cloudy and a little bit rainy here this morning. Protests expected all week long in Tallahassee as the Florida House gets set to take up potential changes to Florida's abortion laws.
There are people that are trying to take away our democratic processes. There are people that do not care about our rights. And there are people that will consistently stomp on our bodily autonomy.
Sarah Parker with Occupy Tally. The Senate's already passed Senate Bill 300, which drew considerable amounts of protests as well. The bill prevents abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, with some exceptions. The House working on their own version of that legislation. A 53-year-old Pensacola man accused of trying to secretly videotape two young children while they were showering. Last Thursday, Joseph Holbert was arrested on charges of lewd and lascivious behavior, video voyeurism, and child cruelty. According to Channel 3, this incident allegedly happened on February 26th when two children were rinsing off after swimming, noticed a wire coming through a shower wall. That wire reportedly was connected to a remote camera and then attached to a cell phone. Holbert was allegedly discovered hiding in a crawl space under the home, operating that phone. When he was confronted by an adult, he reportedly refused to talk about it and drove away. He's now being held on $700,000 bond. Well, there's more money available now for first-time home buyers across the state. This is after Governor DeSantis has signed off on new legislation doubling the money for two popular first-time home buyer programs.
The median home price is currently in our area is $320,000. Typically, I tell first-time home buyers you're going to have closing costs typically around 3-4% of whatever the purchase price is.
That's Mike Dolan. He's the president of the Pensacola Association of Realtors, and those two programs can help first-time home buyers with closing costs. The legislation allocates more money for the SHIP program, which helps with costs for buying a home with income limits, and the Hometown Heroes program that provides closing costs and down payment help for frontline workers such as teachers, law enforcement, firefighters, and also for military veterans. For any artists or designers that are interested in submitting an idea for that Pensacola Welcome Sign Contest, they are holding an informational meeting this week. It's going to be on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock at the Hagler Mason Conference Room at City Hall. While the meeting isn't required to submit a design, if you're interested in learning more about the project and the submission process, they are encouraging you to attend. The city planning to install a 2 or 3D welcome sign on the Pensacola sign of that new 3 mile bridge. It is 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 first warning forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be seeing a nice day today with temperatures warming up in the highs near 74 degrees, 10% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. As you go into Wednesday, rain chance will slowly increase with a 20% chance of rain, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 65. For your Thursday, showers and thunderstorms likely, 80% chance of rain with a high near 72. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News first warning weather team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got cloudy skies. It's 60 in Pensacola, 62 in Gulf Breeze, 58 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour, along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play P Cola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill? Join Compass Solar Energy this Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy. That's this Thursday at 10:30 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 537, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Shane Tucker. He is the chief deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. We had a lot of stuff we want to get to with you. Let's just kind of get right into it. The first one is on Friday, we had a homicide in Navarre on Salamanca Street, right?
Yes, sir. Just after 1 p.m., we were called about a shooting in that area, and when deputies got on scene, they found a deceased male with what appeared to be a gunshot wound. Fortunately, there were witnesses that were able to help them, you know, quickly identify a suspect. A perimeter was set up, and within a relatively short period of time, the suspect was taken into custody. So he is now in jail on a first-degree murder charge.
Was this a outside? Was this in a home? Do we know a motive? What else do we know, if anything?
I am not aware of any motive at this time, but it's my understanding that this did take place outside on a property in Navarre.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, quick work, but man, a horrible thing to have happen. We also had you guys arrested somebody that was actually wanted on a murder from Escambia County in Santa Rosa County last week, right?
We sure did. Escambia County had a homicide, and they identified a suspect, Nathaniel Cunningham. Their investigators, our investigators, were all looking for him for some time. We located him over here in the Milton area. A short pursuit took place, and our deputies utilized a pit technique to immobilize his car, and he was taken into custody without any further injuries. It's my understanding that he had some narcotics on him, so we put some additional charges on him as well.
And this kind of stuff happens all the time. I mean, we had one of Santa Rosa criminals was, pitted in Escambia County. I think we had a Foley. Somebody got pitted in Escambia County. I mean, you know, the interagency cooperation both within Florida and even across state lines is pretty robust, right?
It certainly is. You know, the criminals aren't, you know, stopped at county lines. You know, the Escambia criminals come here, our criminals go there, and they're back and forth. So, you know, it definitely behooves everybody for us to have a good partnership, and we do, with our local partners in the area, with the Escambia Sheriff's Office, the Pensacola Police Department, the Milton Police Department. We all kind of work in concert to take these bad guys off the street to make citizens safer, and this is just a good example of that teamwork.
We had another incident, and this... This has become more known locally because it happened to involve a former candidate for Congress's son. But the real issue here was threats against the Holly Navarre Middle School, right?
Right. In the latter part of March, some of our school resource deputies received a report of a potential school shooting in the Navarre area. This information was alleged to have been posted initially on a social media outlet. So deputies went to work doing investigations, talking to students. Ultimately, they got a search warrant and reviewed some data from Snapchat, a social media outlet, and the investigating deputies were able to determine that there was probable cause to arrest the student for allegedly making an act of a school shoot or a threat of a school shooting.
But in this case, he surrendered to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. This wasn't a go out and arrest, right?
My understanding is that the juvenile and his parents turned himself in. But
okay, so he's 13. Is that right? Do I remember right? That's the right age.
That sounds correct.
Okay. And the only reason I bring that up is because I think a lot of people had the question, why are they putting a 13-year-old's or 14, I know it's right in that vicinity, picture, you know, sort of out? And the answer is because of the charges, right?
Correct. When a juvenile is charged with a felony crime or a crime that would be a felony if charged as an adult, then their pictures are not exempt from public record. That is my understanding.
And now you guys don't have any discretion about that, right? Like, you couldn't say, yeah, but we don't think so in this case?
Correct. If it's public record, it's public record. And
okay,
we're not at liberty to determine that we're not going to release it if somebody wants it.
Because I'll tell you my opinion, I don't like it. I don't like release. No matter almost what they do at that age, it's just, you know, I know it's not your choice because it's the law, right? But I don't like publicizing. I mean, you can hear the way even I'm talking about this story and who's involved. I'm more so for people who already know the story, you know, who we're talking about. If you don't, I don't really need to tell you because I just don't think this revealing of the ID for that young of a child for things they've done is appropriate. But it's also worth saying, I know in our house, the conversation we had with our kids was, you know, this is what was said on social media, allegedly. Can you guys just be sure that you use some good judgment and don't make jokes and don't say, you know, like, you got to think this way, right?
Sure. And, you know, Andrew, it's really worth noting, if you look at school shootings and active shooter events that have taken place in this country in the last several decades, in virtually all of the instances, the shooter gave some indication of what was going to occur, what he or she was going to do. And that's almost every time. There's social media posts. There's comments to friends. There's in hindsight, people look back and say, "Wow, I should have said something." You know, and after the fact is not the time to take these threats seriously. And we certainly do take these threats seriously.
Right.
I remember just a few weeks ago, it seems like we arrested somebody from New Jersey for making some threats. And we talked about then how this puts everybody at danger. You know, so this is something that we have to deal with aggressively and assertively.
You know, I have a thought about that, but I want to hold it for just a second. We're talking to Shane Tucker, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident 29 southbound north of the mill. Now, it's still slow, but it's still down to one lane, but it's a lot shorter than.
Actually, that's not true because I'm right here, and I'm sorry. I thought I took this part out. It's all okay. You should be fine this morning, not showing any delays. All exits off I-10, I-110, reporting as clear.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Chief Tucker. Chief, that being said, there are also many, many, many people who make threats or say things that then don't actually act on them. I agree with you. It is almost a necessary precondition that they would have done this early. But there's a lot of times when they pan out to be nothing. And that's my only concern is also, I know we got to take it seriously, but somebody who makes a threat doesn't mean they're going to act on it, right?
Hey, you know, you raise a really good point, but you know, like you just described a few moments ago, you sat with your children and you talked about the importance of this. It's important for parents to teach their children there are some things that it's not okay to joke about.
Right.
And it's not okay to joke about shooting people. It's not okay to joke about shooting up schools. And children have to learn that. You know, when I was in school, We didn't really have the prevalence of school shooters. So my parents never sat down and had a discussion with me not to joke about shooting up a school. But unfortunately, in 2023, that's a conversation that parents need to have with their kids. This is not funny, and it's not appropriate for you to joke about. And these are the consequences that could occur if you do.
And it's not an appropriate way to vent your emotions, you know? It just because of the environment we're in. That's exactly right. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, possibly the strangest story, so you'll have to explain it to me. My understanding is that we found some iguanas in a truck bed. What happened here?
You know, we certainly did. Last Monday afternoon, one of our deputies was working up on Interstate 10 and conducted a traffic stop. In the course of this otherwise routine traffic stop, he discovered that the driver was transporting, I believe it was about 13 iguanas in the bed of his pickup truck. That doesn't seem so odd, but each one of the reptiles had its legs duct taped behind its back. All four of those little legs were duct taped and kind of contorted behind its back during transport. So they were just, I guess, laying, you know, belly on the bed of the pickup truck. One of them had actually died. One of the iguanas was actually deceased when the deputy discovered him. I really don't know the purpose of him. I don't know if he was transporting them for food or for pets or what, but he was ultimately arrested for driving without a license as well as animal abuse.
Well, good work in the end, but just such a strange story. Shane Tucker, he's the Chief Deputy of Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. Chief, as always, thanks for the conversation, the information, and what you do to keep us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Talk to you soon.
Absolutely. 546 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are a business owner and you love thinking about employee benefits, health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources, payroll, if all of that stuff makes you, that's like your happy time, great. You know, if that's your gravy, wonderful. On the other hand, if that's like, Andrew, we've talked about this, you don't need to mention that stuff when I'm on my way to work. I don't like it. Don't want to hear about it. Okay. Solve the problem. Stop enduring it. Solve the problem. Call Torgerson Causey. This is what they do. They are a comprehensive employee benefits agency, and they'll help you take care of that stuff. They can run it for you. They can give you options. Whatever the level of your need or interest is, they can take care of it. In fact, they started doing this with us about 5 or 6 years ago, Cat Country and News Radio, and we started using them, and they've been great. They gave us options. They gave us different plans. We could more customize things based on what we wanted to spend and what we thought were the good benefits. And they have always been great when we have a question. They have the answer or they'll get it right back to us with details. A lot of times people don't do that. They are good at that. So very, very good. My wife's happy. I'm happy. It's that simple. 20 plus years serving local businesses. Torgerson Causey, call them today and get a no obligation review of what you're doing and see how they can help. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about
baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
Join Ballet Pensacola's artistic director, Darren McIntyre, and guest dancers on this Thursday's Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 a.m. Ballet Pensacola invites you to enter the magical land of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream ballet production on stage at the Clark Family Cultural Center, April 21st through 23rd. Tune in and text in your questions for Darren at 850-437-1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Disco Kiss takes the stage. Don't miss Disco Kiss. Play the best songs from the biggest bands of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Bring a blanket or lawn chair, but please no pets or glass. And be sure to stop by the Cat Country tent. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
They're 6-year-olds. How much trouble can they be?
550 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. It's your Kill Bill station. I'm Andrew McKay. I know. I was like, wait, I know that. What's that from? Battle With or Without Humanity is actually the name of it by Tamayasu Hote. But, you know it as the Kill Bill theme. So, David. What's that? That's right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There's some new developments in the case of a Virginia teacher that was shot by a six-year-old student. The boy's mother now facing charges and expected to turn herself in later this week. She was indicted by a grand jury yesterday for child neglect and not locking up that loaded gun. The suspect that was charged in the weekend stabbing of a New Jersey imam says that religious differences led to the attack. According to court documents, the 32-year-old was upset about the leadership of the mosque in South Paterson, and with the leader of the mosque accepting money in the name of Islam. And the second Tennessee lawmaker that was recently expelled from the state's House of Representatives could be reappointed soon. Officials say a vote to reinstate Justin Pearson is going to happen Wednesday. And the Nashville City Council voted unanimously yesterday to appoint Justin Jones back to his seat as well.
Yeah, the justice for Justins. I mean, that's the way I look at it, which I told you, this is the stupidest thing ever that the Republicans kicked. Tried to kick all three of them out, only kicked the two black guys named Justin out. One is Ponytail Justin, one is Afro Justin. I don't know. That's how
it's a rough week to be a Justin.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's just like the Nashville Governing Council, which, by the way, the Nashville Governing Council is 40 people. 40 people. It's a mini parliament, which, I mean, you know, how
I wouldn't
many people
want to
live
cover
in Nashville?
That
Nashville's like, what, 8 million people? And seven, I mean, that's a, you know, and it's a weird looking thing. So anyway, they got 40 people on the parliamentary board that runs Nashville, and they voted to put him back in right away. So he's back in temporarily until they can have a special election to actually fill the seat, which I would think he will win, would be my guess. Everybody, I mean, if they voted for him the one time, they're not voting for him less now. So, David, thanks so much for the update. And then, as you said, the other Justin, mother brother Justin, you know, he's going Daryl, my other brother Daryl. He's going to be able to, he's probably going to get back in on Wednesday. I would assume they will follow suit in, what is the name of the county where they're doing that? Anyway, Shelby County, I think, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, and not a surprise. And, God, Republicans, what were you thinking? So stupid. Censure them, reprimand them, move them off of committees. No. I'm sorry. There's no way to sugarcoat this. This was stupid, and it looked racist. I'm not saying it was racist. I'm saying it was stupid, and it looked racist. Those are two bad things if you're a politician. 553 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, speaking of racism, although in reverse, you know how much liberals hate Clarence Thomas? I mean, it's a weird pathology. They genuinely hate Clarence Thomas. And generally speaking, like black conservatives, but, you know, there's a special hate spot for them for Clarence Thomas. Turncoat, Uncle Tom, race traitor. I mean, these are all things that get said about Clarence Thomas. So the recent smearing of him by the allegations that he violated some kind of, you know, ethics rule or, you know, reporting rule that he didn't tell people that he's got a wealthy friend. Anyway, so the Wall Street Journal had a very interesting editorial from the editorial board about this. I'm going to read it to you because I think it's fascinating. It says the left's assault on the Supreme Court is continuing, and the latest front is the news that Justice Clarence Thomas has a rich friend who has hosted the justice on his private plane, his yacht, and his vacation resort. That's it. That's the story. Yet this non-bombshell has triggered breathless claims that the court must be investigated and that Justice Thomas must resign or be impeached. These demands give away the real political game here. ProPublica, a left-leaning website, kicked off the fun with a report Thursday that Justice Thomas had a longtime friendship with Harlan Crow, a wealthy Texas real estate developer. The intrepid reporters, this is sarcasm, roamed far and wide to discover that the justice had sometimes traveled on Mr. Crow's Bombardier Global 5000 jet, that's all in quotes, and that each summer the justice and his wife spent a vacation week at Mr. Crow's place in the Adirondacks. The piece is loaded with words and phrases intended to convey that this is all somehow disreputable. Super yacht, luxury trips, exclusive California all-male retreat, sprawling ranch, private chefs, elegant accommodation, opulent lodge, lavishing the justice with gifts, and more. Anytime you use opulent, it's no longer a news story. Adjectival overkill. Oh, it's a great phrase. Adjectival overkill is the method of bad polemicists who don't have much to report. So good. The ProPublica writer suggests that Justice Thomas may have violated ethics rules, and they quote a couple of cherry-picked ethicists to express their dismay. You know, how many, if you've, you know, how many ethics opinions are there? Well, if there's five ethicists being asked, you'll have seven opinions. Trust me, I am one. But it seems clear that the court's rules at the time all of this happened did not require that gifts of personal hospitality be disclosed. This includes the private plane trips. ProPublica fails to make clear to readers that the U.S. Judicial Conference recently changed its rules to require more disclosure. The new rules took effect last month. Justice Thomas would have been obliged to disclose gifts that posed a conflict of interest involving cases that would be heard by the High Court, but there's no evidence that Mr. Crow had had any such business before the court, and Mr. Crow says he never asked about a pending or lower court case. The most ProPublica can come up with is that, quote, Crow has deep connections in conservative politics. Oh, dear. That's like Mr. Sulu doing the commentary here. I love it. Oh, dear. Like, that's your pearl-clutching moment. Anyway, one hilarious section reports. This is a Wall Street Journal editorial if you're just joining us. One hilarious section reports that a painting at Mr. Crow's New York resort includes Mr. Crow, Justice Thomas, and three friends smoking cigars. One of the friends is Leonard Leo, the Federalist Society leader regarded as an architect of the Supreme Court's return to the right, ProPublica says. Is it a surprise that Clarence Thomas would hang out with the Federalist Society leaders? Okay, whatever. This conspiracy is so secret that it's hiding in plain sight. Can anyone imagine such a story ever being written about a liberal justice on the court? Justice Thomas said sent in a Friday night statement that early in my tenure at the court, I sought guidance from my colleagues and others in the judiciary and was advised that this sort of personal hospitality from close personal friends who did not have business before the court was not reportable. He added that these guidelines are now being changed as the Judicial Conference announced new guidance, and it is, of course, my intent to follow the guidance in the future, the statement said. None of this will stop the political stampede to portray the Crow-Thomas friendship as a scandal to tarnish the justice in the current court. This campaign has been underway with particular ferocity since the court's majority shifted during the Trump years toward justices who have an originalist view of interpreting law and the Constitution. Justice Thomas is a leading target because his long-held views on the law have found new adherents. You know, finally, right? As the longest tenured justice now in the court, he has the power to assign writing duties for opinions when he is in the majority, but Chief Justice Roberts isn't. Is the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas corrupt? I don't know, tweeted Democratic Representative Ted Lieu, but his secretive actions absolutely have the appearance of corruption, and he apparently violated the law. For the good of the country, he should resign. That's all a quote from Ted Lieu. The response from WSJ editorial, you gotta love the I don't know, but he should resign anyway formulation. Did he do anything wrong? I don't know, but he should still resign. The liberal press, pardon the redundancy, their line, not mine, has climbed onto its ethical high horse and is demanding reform at the court. All of this needs robust investigation, demanded Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. Senate Judiciary Chairman Dick Durbin dutifully saluted upon Mr. Whitehouse's order and said his committee will act to impose a new enforceable code of conduct for the court. This ethics talk is really about setting up an apparatus that politicians can then use against the justices if there's any transgressor? Anyway, however minor or inadvertent, the claims of corruption are intended to smear the conservative justices and tarnish the court to tee up case recusals, impeachment, or a court-packing scheme if Democrats get enough Senate votes to break the filibuster. It's all ugly politics, but the left is furious it lost control of the court, and it wants it back by whatever means possible. Amen, 100% across the board, including my favorite line, oh dear. Oh, dear. That's great. We'll be back in just a minute. Stick around. I'm Andrew McKay.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.